to keep you all abreast of what is happening in the company. We could not schedule any physical meeting. As I'm given to understand, the last physical meeting interaction was way back in 2019, March. Is right?
Yes, sir.
March. And unfortunately, the COVID had taken its own toll. And now that we are behind the effects of COVID, we are here. And it is my pleasure to meet you all in person. I'll try and restrict my opening remarks to the minimum so that we can interact more, and I shall attempt to answer all your queries to the best of my ability. Before we go on to the financial performance, I'll give you a glimpse on the physical performance of the company, because I believe it is a physical performance that translates into financial results, and also touch upon the current order book position, major milestones achieved during the last 9 months, the broad expectations in terms of the order book that is on the anvil, and our execution plan. As on the 31st December 2022, our order book stood at a very healthy ₹22,242.42 crores. Of this, almost 98.5% comes from our core business, that is worship building. This 22,242 crores comprise of 6 shipbuilding projects. These 6 shipbuilding projects, in turn, when I break up, that comes to 3 projects, 3 ships for the Indian Navy. That is 3 projects for the Indian Navy. The P-17 Alpha Advanced Frigate, 3 ships. Another project for the Indian Navy, that is an 8-ship anti-submarine shallow water craft project, and a 4-ship survey vessel large project. So this makes it 15 ships, 3 projects. We are also executing a project for the Cooperative Republic of Guyana, which we have almost completed. A project for the government of Bangladesh, an export project. And another project, it is an electric vessel, a passenger vessel for the government of West Bengal. So total, 6 projects, 23 platforms. Actually, we had a very happening 9 months period in terms of physical performance, as I had mentioned earlier. In the shipbuilding parlance, in addition to delivery, a major milestone is the launch of a vessel. When I say launch of a vessel, that is the first time when a ship is put to sea after we call a ship she. After the ship takes a full shape, she's put to sea for the water for the first time. So we had the proud privilege of launching 6 warships, 6 ships during this period. That is 1 P-17 Alpha, 1 anti-submarine shallow water craft, 2 survey vessels, a fast patrol vessel, and the vessel that we have just exporting to the government of Guyana. We also completed a project for the Indian Coast Guard. The fast patrol vessel project was completed during the last 9 months, and we delivered the ship on 31st of December 2022 to the Indian Coast Guard ahead of schedule, thereby completing this project. This project actually comprises of 5 warships. 4 of them were delivered earlier. As I mentioned, the last ship was delivered on 31st December 2022, a month ahead of schedule. Also happy to inform you that we have completed the technical acceptance of the vessel that I mentioned being exported to the Cooperative Republic of Guyana. This was done during the mid-December, and presently the ship is under voyage to the Caribbean. We expect the formal delivery after the ship reaches there. We expect the formal delivery to take place end March, early April. Again, this is ahead of schedule. One of our... In addition to the launch and delivery, we also had the keel laying and the various production milestones, that is start production of over 7 platforms during this period. As you may be aware, in addition to shipbuilding, we also have a business vertical, the portable Bailey type steel bridges. This particular division has been doing very well. We have signed a memorandum of understanding with the Border Roads Organization, of one of our major customers, for 27 bridges. This was signed during the last 9 months, and we already started supplying the bridges to the BRO, that is the Border Roads Organization. Happy to inform you again that we are the only Indian organization to be awarded the Green Channel certification for supply of Bailey-type portable steel bridges. For information, Green Channel certification means we don't go in through the normal quality assurance procedures which the DGQA follows. We are self-certified through a stringent selection process, and this was awarded to us around 4 months back. Again, on the exports front, the Bailey Bridges division has obtained an order for export of Bailey Bridges to the government of Bangladesh, that is the Bangladeshi Army, through a defense line of credit route. We have another business vertical, that is a diesel engines division. This is located at Ranchi, Jharkhand. We have recently signed a memorandum of understanding with Rolls-Royce MTU. This is for localization of a particular type of diesel engines that has got huge business potential. Just to give you a background, we already had a license agreement with Rolls-Royce for assembly and trials of these engines. But now we have taken it to another level. Till now, the components, the entire assembly used to come from abroad. We used to assemble it here and conduct the trials and pass it on to the customers. With this model, which we intend translating it into a license agreement within a span of 6 to 9 months, we will be localizing a substantial percentage of these engines. And these engines are expected to be used on board medium and small vessels of both the Indian Navy and the Indian Coast Guard. So just to inform you all that there is a good business potential that is expected out of this venture. On the ship repair vertical, some of you may have had interaction with me during the last two or three conference calls. I had mentioned that this is an area which we are focusing upon. As a part of the initiative towards building up the vertical, we had taken over three dry docks from the Kolkata Port Trust on a strategic lease, that is a 30-year lease period. The results are here to see, and we almost had 100% occupancy of the docks ever since we took over this facility. And as of now, we have completed four refits, which we have won on competitive bidding, both commercial and from the Indian Coast Guard, and two of them are currently in progress. This division is doing well, and we expect good returns from this division in the future. As far as the execution of the current projects go, I had mentioned that currently we are executing six shipbuilding projects. We intend completing these projects by FY27. We have a very clear execution plan for this project, and as I just stated, we intend completing these projects by FY27. The P-17 Alpha project between between August 25 and mid of 26. The survey vessel large project, the deliveries will start commencing during the calendar year 2023, and we intend completing this project by end of 2024 calendar year. The anti-submarine shallow water craft project from end of this calendar year, that is 2023. And by end 26, we intend delivering the eight ships of the ASW shallow water, that is anti-submarine shallow water craft project. As far as the other two small projects, the Guyana vessel, as I mentioned, it is already en route Guyana, and we'll be delivering the ship end March, early April, once it reaches Guyana. And the other two projects for the next generation electric ferry that we are constructing for the government of West Bengal, by end of this calendar year, we'll be delivering, and the Bangladesh boat project will be completing by mid of this calendar year. Just to give you a broad idea, while I've given you an overview of when we are going to complete the projects, the first of the P-17 Alpha project is almost touched 50% of construction, with the third one, the second and third one closely following. Third one is almost at 40% of physical construction, and the third one is at about 20 to 25% of physical construction. The survey vessel, the first ship that we intend delivering this year, We all already crossed around 75% of physical construction. So that is the level of production maturity that these ships have achieved. Of the survey vessel project, we already launched three of the ships. And the fourth ship is expected to be launched during the first quarter of the next financial year. As far as the anti-submarine shallow watercraft project is concerned, there are various stages of construction. And we already launched one of the vessels. And the second vessel is expected to be launched next month. That is in March 23, in this financial year itself. Now coming to the, I have now given you, in the last 5 to 7 minutes, I have given you an overview of the physical performance, including the current order book execution plan. I will now touch upon the financial highlights of the company. As I had stated or committed during the last few conference calls, we have managed to maintain the tempo that we generated in the first and second quarters, and the third quarter and the 9-month period ending 31st December 2022, the results have been equally encouraging. As a matter of fact, the revenue from operations and the profit after tax has been the highest ever in the history of the company, both for a 9-month period or for a particular quarter. As far as the revenue from operations go, we have gone up from 1,212 crores to 1,960 crores, that is registering a growth of almost 62% when we are comparing a 9-month period between FY23 and FY22. The total income correspondingly has gone up from 1,333 crores to 2,092 crores. Just to put things in the right perspective, our revenue from operations during FY22 was 1,757 crores. And as on 31st December 2022, we are already at 1,960 crores. That will give you an understanding as to what path we are taking. As far as the profit after tax is concerned, it has gone up for a 9-month period from 142.33 crores to 172.83 crores. That is registering a growth of 21.5%. The earnings per share has gone up from 12.42 to 15.09, again for a 9-month period, registering a growth, similar growth of 21.5%. Share price, you're more aware than me, so I would not dwell upon that. This, in a nutshell, gives the financial performance of the company for both the quarter ending and 9-month ending 31st December 22. Now, coming to the orders in the pipeline. Now, both Indian Navy and the Indian Coast Guard, both these forces are on a huge fleet expansion drive with very clear perspective plans to raise their fleet level from the current strength to almost 200 plus ships in the next 5 to 7 years. On the indigenization front, as of now, of the 43 platforms that the Indian Navy is constructing, 41 are being built within India by the Indian shipyards. As far as the Indian Coast Guard is concerned, all the 9 ships that are under construction for the Indian Coast Guard are being built by Indian shipyards. So this is the kind of indigenization or the Make in India levels that our nation has reached. From the GRSC perspective, with that as a background, I had stated before that we had been declared L2 in the second winner in a next generation OPV project. This is an 11 ship project. The L1 takes 7, the L2 takes 4. We are the L2, so 4 ships are coming to us. We are in the final stages of contract discussions with the Indian Navy, and we expect the contract to be signed during the current financial year. This translates to an order value of approximately 3,400 crores. So, in a nutshell, with respect to the order book position at the end of the current financial year, we are confident of maintaining a minimum level of 25,000 crores plus. Now coming to the orders on the anvil. This is a very encouraging, the numbers are very encouraging. Again, I'll put things in the perspective so that we all have a very clear understanding. As of now, we have four shipyards in the defense segment. I mean, I would say four DPSU shipyards. That is the Mazagon Docks here in Mumbai, us, JRSC, HS Hindustan Shipyard at Vishakhapatnam, and the Goa Shipyard, plus the Cochin Shipyard, another PSU under the Ministry of Shipping. So five of us. The private players have definitely been very active in the warship building arena in the recent past. The Larsen & Toubro Shipyard at Kattupalli. A couple of small shipyards on the west coast, the Shoaf, the Chogle, and again a few more small shipyards. So the major shipyards that will be competing for the major orders that are on the anvil are five of us, that is four plus one, five, plus L&T plus you put the others together, to around seven shipyards. Now, currently, in addition to the project that I mentioned, which we already won and which we expect the contract to be concluded, RFPs have been already issued by the Indian Coast Guard for 14 fast patrol vessels. That translates to approximately 1,000 to 1,200 crores, and one cadet training ship. Logically, the contracts for these two projects are expected to be concluded sometime early next year, the first half of next year. Further, for these two, the RFPs have been already issued. In addition to these, the Coast Guard is expected to come out with a six ocean-going patrol vessel project. The RFP is expected anytime soon. For this particular project, the approval of necessity, the AON, has been already accorded by the Defense Acquisition Council sometime a month to 2 months back. Indian Navy is expected to come out with an RFP for five next-generation survey vessels. Another, our PET project, the next-generation corvettes for which the DAC had already accorded AON, we expect the RFP to come out early next year. This is a big project. The AON value is approximately 36,000 crores. Here I would like to mention that I have stated this, but I would like to reiterate that in India today, only one shipyard has delivered 8-plus corvettes. 9 corvettes have been delivered by JRSC till date, and all of them are in active service with the Indian Navy, both the missile corvettes and the anti-submarine corvettes. So we would be bidding with our kind of experience and expertise in constructing these corvettes. We'd be bidding in such a way with a very clear aim to win the bid. This project, 36,000 crore project, will be split between two shipyards. The L1 shipyard gets 5, the L2 shipyard gets 3. So you can assume the order value that is likely to emerge out of this. Navy, again, is likely to come out with an RFP. The RFI is already out for 21 water jet FACs, follow-on water jet FACs. Order value approximately 2,000 crores. The RFP is likely to come out in 2024. Coast Guard is likely to come out with a RFP for 18 next-generation fast patrol vessels. RFP expected 2025, approximate cost around 5,000 crores. Indian Navy likely to come out with 7 next-generation fast attack crafts, 4 LPDs, again a high-value order, 120 fast interceptor crafts, and so on. So, the list is pretty long, so I would not bore you with the details. But in a nutshell, between Navy and Coast Guard, around 100 platforms are likely to come out in the next 3 to 5 years. When I say 3 to 5 years, that is for the contract conclusion. That is the entire rigmarole of RFI, RFP, the further process till the contract conclusion. It will take approximately 3 to 5 years. And the order value, on a conservative front, it would be approximately, I wrote down somewhere, yeah. it will be approximately 85 to 86,000 crores. And on a very optimistic figure would be around 120,000 crores. So this is the kind of the kitty that is available. And my first statement before I started rattling out these figures was that the number of players in the field to get these orders are max 7. That again, the customers, both the Navy and the Coast Guard, have categorized these shipyards that X is eligible to get a particular class of ship or up to a particular class of ship. So there we stand at an advantage. That much I can tell you. I think I have given you an overview of the current order book, the execution plan, the orders on the anvil. And I'd like to close my opening remarks that we have a very good order book at this moment. I, as a CMD, can assure you that we have a very, very clear execution plan, adequate capacity, and reasonable order visibility, actually good order visibility. Our focus areas at this moment is timely execution of the ongoing project. We cannot afford to delay the projects. Timely execution of the ongoing projects, enhanced operational efficiency. Because there was a stage when we were getting, well before we got listed, we were getting orders on a nomination basis. That phase is gone. None of the orders that are coming to us today, of course we are fighting for nomination orders, but none of the orders that are coming to us today are on nomination. As a matter of fact, among the three naval projects that we have, the anti-submarine shallow watercraft project and the survey vessel project have been won on competitive bidding, including against private shipyards. Both the export projects, of course, they're small projects, but both the export projects have been won on competitive bidding. So now that competition is in our blood, with that background, our focus is to enhance our operational efficiency, both through technology adoption, which of course is a very broad statement, and also through internal processes improvement. Target aggressive bidding strategy to win the projects which are likely to come up in the next 2 to 3 years, while maintaining focus on ship repairs, an attractive segment. Bailey bridges are core strength in that engineering field. Diesel engines, we still would not like to dilute our 62 years of experience in domestic warship building. We are also into new products. The first foray we had made to new products was when we won an order with the, we concluded a contract with the government of West Bengal for a green platform. That is an electric ferry, is a passenger vessel for the government of West Bengal. Here, we see a lot of potential, both within India and on the exports front. So this will be an area which we'll be focusing upon. We are also in tie-up with several startups. I had the opportunity to interact both personally and with my teams with a host of startups during the both the defense exhibition that we had, Aero India, and the last Def Expo at, where was it, like, no? Gandhinagar. The phenomenal kind of talent that exists in our startup industry. So we intend tapping that talent for getting new products, both green vessels, of course, we already made a foray, and for autonomous platforms. So that, ladies and gentlemen, in a nutshell about the company, including the performance and what is in store. I'm open for questions. What is the system you're following?
Hello, sir.
Sorry. I thought I'll show this last, but no, the flow is there. People ask me, what is the vision of the company? Just for information, every officer, I have a very modest strength of around 2,000 permanent employees. Because as a business strategy, now most of our non-core areas are being done by the outsourced personnel. The core captive manpower is around 2,000, which comprise around 500 officers. Every officer in the company knows the vision of the company. This has been provided to every officer, so that every executive clearly understands what he or she has to do for the company to exist.
So this is Rohit Natarajan. I'm from representing Antique Stockbroking. Thank you for those detailed opening remarks. It was quite insightful. You said that there is some 100 platforms in the next 3 to 5 years, and you find the order value will be somewhere between 86,000 crore to 1.2 lakh crore. Let me give you two critical projects where the value itself will be like 1 lakh crore. So for instance, next generation destroyers or repeat of P-17A. So is that included in this? I mean, because that's probably something you have just left out, or how do I reconcile it?
Thank you, Mr. Rohit. I had given a conservative figure and a very optimistic figure. Within the conservative, I think I had given a figure of 86,000 crores. 36,000 crores is the order value for the entire next generation COVID project. That is for 8 ships. So a shipyard who become L1 will get 5 by 8 of 36,000. I have not, I had kept that follow-on P-17 Alpha in the reserve category. We understand that the customer, that is our most valued customer, the Navy, has a requirement of similar platforms. And as you are already aware, 7 of these ships are being constructed as of now. Both Mazagon Dock's 4 ships and GRSC 3 ships. And this project is expected to be completed by mid of 26. So if the Navy is taking this project forward, the order for this, the ideal contract conclusion for a follow-on would be somewhere in 25. Naturally, you know the order value for the current project. 3 of the ships which we are building currently, the order value is 19,293 crores. So if 3 more ships come or X number of ships comes, it will proportionately increase. I have not factored this P-17 Alpha follow-on in the figures that I just mentioned.
So the next generation destroyer orders, you haven't touched on that aspect as well. If you could touch something on that part.
Next generation destroyers is a project which Navy will be going in for. We expect the RFP to come out for this project sometime, RFP, because they may go in for an RF. I don't have clarity on that at this moment. RFP is expected to come out N24 calendar year or mid of 2025. Here, we have been, for every, I had mentioned in passing that if various categories of ships are there, Navy does a capacity assessment, both in terms of expertise, the infrastructure and facilities. Happy to inform you that GRSC has been, our capacity has been so assessed that we would be eligible for contesting for this order as and when the RFP comes out.
What's that you want to highlight, the figure part, that what is the potential size of NGD?
It will be around 40,000, figure as in the cost?
Yes,
approximately 40,000 crores. This is a project which currently Mazagon Dock's is executing. Two of the ships have been delivered, two of them are yet to be delivered.
Sure, I will come with a follow-up in case.
Sir, I just wanted to check. You generally work on fixed-price contracts or, like, for example, the P-17 Alpha. That is the largest project for you just now. So is it fixed price, and about the others, are they generally fixed price contracts?
I had mentioned earlier that we have gone through a complete transformation. First from nomination to competition, and second from cost plus to fixed price. The contracts currently being executed are fixed price contracts.
Is that the reason why the EBITDA margins in the third quarter took such a sharp dip? Because actually the raw material line is where the hit came. So is this the reason why the third quarter margins took a hit?
Margins, seriously, I don't think they've taken a dip. The dip is a perception. Now, yes, the contracts are all fixed-price contracts. Both the last two projects, I'm talking about the ASW and the survey vessel, have been won on competition with very, very tight profit margins. Very tight profit margins. And I have stated this before, and again I would like to reiterate, because this is a very common question that we face, the profit margins. I'll answer this so that we are all on the same page on this. In shipbuilding, the conventional profit margins, which is considered healthy, is anything which hovers around 7.5%. That is the profit margin which I get from the customer for a nominated project also. Competition, the margins which I bid at and win at are much lesser. We have been able to maintain profit margins above 7.5 consistently. Even as on this, the quarter that just ended, rather the 9 months that ended, our PAT margin is 8.26. For the quarter ended, it is 8.53. So we are above this threshold. And how do we achieve this? It is purely by putting our efficiencies better, putting the purse tighter, cutting down the revenue expenditure. So this is a fact. The profit margins are not bad by any standards, one. Second, there is not a big dip. Since you mentioned a dip, there is no dip. Actually, our PAT margin for the quarter ending Q2 23 was 8.12. Q3, it is 8.53. So actually speaking, there is a rise, and the rise is 5%.
So when you say 7.5, you're talking about PAT margins or EBIT margins? Or
I'm purely speaking about the PAT margin. No. I've not even gone up to PBT or EBIT.
And sir, my second question was about P-17 Alpha project, which you won in 2016, I think. So since then, would you say you're on schedule in terms of delivering, or you've been delayed somehow, or what is the situation?
I'll answer this question, ma'am. P-17 Alpha is a developmental project. There was a project, a P-17 project, which got completed in, 2012 or 13. This is a follow-on project where all the lessons that were learned by the Navy from the P-17 project were presumably addressed in the P-17 Alpha project. And this is a time when the transition took place in letter and spirit from import to make in India. Most of the equipment of the P-17 Alpha project are made in India, developmental, made first time. The design of the basic design of P-17 Alpha project is by the Navy. The shipyards do the detailed design. Equipment selection is by the Navy. So it is a project which is a developmental project where the partners are three, actually four. One, the Navy, the customer, who's responsible for the design of the ship and the equipment selection. Second, Mazagon Dock. Third, GRSC. And fourth is the Indian industry, the Indian ecosystem. So there is a delay. But with this delay, after realizing that this is a developmental project, the Navy has gone back to the CCS because it requires a CCS approval. And it is with those revised timelines that I'm mentioning between 2025 mid and 2026 mid.
Okay, and sir, I have two more questions. Sir, on the balance sheet, you've got a large, very large current liability of 5,000 crores as of financial year 22, which if you read the notes, it says this is liability for delivering the P-17 Alpha project. So, sir, if you could just please speak about this, because if this liability keeps increasing, then your ROC, because the capital employed comes down, ROC shoots up. So if you could just please explain what this is.
My dear, thank you.
You see, this liability, what we are showing, it is contract liability we are telling. That means whatever money we have collected against the contract, against liability we have an asset in form of bank deposit as well as inventory.
Inventory.
So now we are into a financial year 23, and the P-17 Alpha project, last project, will be delivered between 2025 and 2026. So till then, the liability will keep going up, or what is it?
Liability is getting adjusted gradually. So whenever we will recognize revenue, to that extent, liability will be adjusted. So naturally, progressively it will reduce.
So progressively it will reduce from here on.
Yeah, yeah.
And sir, my last question is that, see, you have inventory days of about 250, 237 actually, and you've paid advances to suppliers worth 337 days. So logically speaking, you should have no impact from the raw material increases, if at all. Am I thinking on the right lines, or if you could just please talk about this?
Well, this inventory you have seen, it has gone from 600 crores to 1,500 crores. Why? Because gradually all 15 ships are in construction stage. When the ship will go to phase 2, at that time, we require our equipments, we high-value equipments. And for high-value equipments, we'll have to procure the inventory. So that's why inventory has gone up.
No, but sir, your other thing that has gone up is your suppliers.
Advance to supplier, you see, we have our payment term. The advance to supplier, it is one kind of, you know, sometimes in the imported items, we will have to pay the advance. And certain cases, advance, it takes adjusted, because advance is one side and also liability is one side. It takes time. That's why in the day on which the financial result is published, on that day, whatever pending is there, to that extent, both sides, in asset side and liability side, it will show higher.
And sir, my last question, if you see the EBITDA margins during the quarter, EBITDA margins have been very volatile during the last, say, 4 or 5 quarters. Since the fourth quarter of financial year 22, since the fourth quarter of the last financial year, margins have been coming down. So, if we are talking about EBITDA margins here. So, if you could just talk about this.
EBITDA margin, actually, there is no downward trend. You see, EBITDA margin, are you considering the, including non-operational or without, only operational you have taken?
No, only operational. So, basically, it's the sales. All operational sales less all the operational expenses. So I'm not including other income in this, which is a substantial portion for GRAC.
Yeah, I will answer. You see, this EBITDA margin, it depends upon the operational income. Operational revenue, what we are getting, we have three projects. One project is nomination basis, 7.5%. Other two projects are competitively less. When this BOP composition will change, so at that time the EBITDA will change. It depends upon the composition of cell.
And ma'am, you had mentioned that it is showing a dip. Again, I'd like to state that EBITDA, as per the records available, which is available with you also, the margins, if you're just comparing Q2 of 23, it was 12.32%, and the last quarter, it was 12.96%. Yes, it has been a bit volatile if you're comparing with the last year's fourth quarter or the last year's 31st December. But certainly, our revenue has gone up. So, I mean, if the revenue is going up 100%, that doesn't mean the PAT or the profit also goes up 100%. So, just to say that it is not the dip, what you have mentioned, is when you're comparing with the last year. But if you're comparing quarter on quarter, between the quarter, the second quarter that ended on 30th September, it was 12.32%. As far as the quarter ending 31st December, it was 12.96%. So it is like what you had mentioned earlier about PAT. There is no, the dip is not something.
Okay, sir, I'll take this up separately. And sir, my last question, like we were anticipating top line from our perspective, sales of around 6,000 crores in financial year 25 and EBITDA margin of around 10%. So would I be off the mark? I mean, EBITDA margin should be around 8% and top line should be around 5,000. If you could just speak
okay,
about this.
I'll answer that question, ma'am. See, we have presently got an order book of 22,242.42 crores. And as I had mentioned earlier that at the end of this financial year, we expect the order book to be around 25,000 crores, including the new order that is going to come in. Considering the execution plan for the current projects, including the expected or the planned deliveries during mid-25 to mid-26, yes, the revenue from operations will go up substantially because we have to spend this 25,000 crores in the next 3 to 4 years. So from a figure of 1,757 revenue from operations in the last financial year, already we are at 1,960. And my opening statement was that we intend maintaining the tempo. So at the end of FY23, you can expect the same momentum to be maintained. The maximum, considering the physical progress of the projects, the maximum revenue recognition, we expect it to happen in FY25. That is when the projects reach that level wherein the equipment will go on board and the revenue recognition will take place. As far as the margins are concerned, we intend maintaining similar margins. We will not go down too much, but we intend maintaining, I'm coming to the PAT margins, above 8%. That's what we anticipate.
Thank you. I have more questions. I guess I'll come back in the.
My pleasure, ma'am. My pleasure.
Thank you, sir. Sir, this is Kunal from BNK. We have a large order book and we have a pipeline that is also lined up. You mentioned a large number of pipeline. So can you highlight what are our capex plans, to meet this plan? Are we, geared up in terms of capacity and capability to meet this current order book as well as the opportunity that is coming by?
We had discussed this in brief during one of the earlier calls. I'll again, since the audience is larger, we have, just for your understanding, we have 3 shipbuilding facilities at Kolkata, 3 completely separate independent shipbuilding facilities with large dry docks, 2 small size dry docks. Plus, we have taken over 3 dry docks from the Kolkata Port Trust. So in shipbuilding, the biggest asset that any shipbuilder, be it for core shipbuilding or for ship repairs, major ship repairs, is a dry dock. So we are good with the dry docks. Then comes the support infrastructure. That is the cranes, the assembly halls, the transporters, the jetties, that is the berths where the ships are parked, and the workshops. So with the facilities that we have today, after undergoing modernization over the last 10 to 5 years, because we have slowly weaned out the modernization process because we have reached a level of maturity with respect to modernization, we currently have the capacity to build 20 warships concurrently. Now, when I say 20 warships concurrently, that encompasses that it can be split into 8 large. Large as in really large, 150 meters plus, or around 150 meters, and small or medium. Now, our current order book, if you're taking out the patrol boats, because they can be built at parking spaces, so that's not an issue. We are at around 80% of our max capacity. Now, as the ships mature out, I had again mentioned that we intend delivering 2 survey vessels this year, 1 ASW shallow watercraft and so on. So, considering the dynamic shipbuilding cycle, we have, to answer your question in simple English, yes, we have adequate capacity to meet the current order book an adequate capacity to take on further load. And also as a strategy, now every customer wants the product yesterday. A lesson learned. This is a lesson that we learned over a period of time. So we have gotten into strategic partnerships with capable private shipyards to utilize their spare capacity. So should a situation come, and hopefully it will come, where we are bursting at our seams, we have tie-ups with private shipyards to utilize their spare capacity. We already experimented this model and successfully. So does that answer your question?
Any absolute number in terms of CAPEX that we'll be spending over the next 2-3 years?
CAPEX over the next 5 years, we expect to spend only around 225 to 250 crores. We intend maintaining around 40 to 50 crores per annum. That's why I had made a statement that we have reached a level of modernization maturity to meet the current load. Now the infusion would be more for technology and new equipment. But for facilities, we are good.
Sir, my second question is pertaining to, you did mention that most of your orders are now competitively bid rather than nomination basis. So what has been your experience in terms of margins that you're winning these orders? Are they substantially different from the nomination orders that you used to get?
See, yes, depending upon project to project. The two projects that we have won, they were on tight margins. Nomination, naturally, they maintain a base profit of around 7.5%. But this is applicable from now on for every shipyard in the business, every entity in the business. Yes, the margins are tight.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Sir, taking a cue from the earlier question regarding the margins, so are you saying this 12.5 to 13% EBITDA margin is a new normal right now? Because if we compare 9 month versus 9 month last year, it's a serious dip from 17% to 12%. So are you saying this 12.5 to 13% new normal as we go forward?
One very interesting point, 7.5 is actually PAT margin. Now, PAT margin to answer your question. No,
I'm referring to the EBITDA margin.
EBITDA margin, if you're mentioning, if you're comparing...
Let's compare 9 month versus 9 month last year.
Yes, there has been a dip. But if you see the absolute. If I go to a restaurant, I'm just giving an example. If I go to a restaurant, I want to have biryani. I want to have good quality biryani and adequate quantity. And assured delivery of biryani for the next 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, you take it. I'm assuring you that whether I make biryani, I'm assuring sustenance and continued provision of biryani for the next 10 years, 5 years, because I have an order book. As my revenue goes up, my absolute figure of profit, PAT, the investor should be interested in the profit and the share he gets. My net worth is increasing. All those things are going on. Very interesting that everybody is asking about the margin, why 3% dip, why 4% dip. So I'm getting back to the example that I gave about a hotel and a biryani. The investor should be really interested in having good biryani, regular supply of biryani, and assured supply of biryani for the period that he is looking at investing. Market capitalization has gone up. The net worth has gone up. The absolute profit figures have gone up. The revenue will go up. Automatically, the figures will go up. There will be fluctuations depending upon the kind of project maturity that we have. If P17 Alpha gives me maximum revenue in a particular quarter or a nine-month period or a financial year, the margins will go up during that period. If it is another project that I have won on a wafer thin margin is maturing, there will be a dip. So, I mean, I don't know whether I'm conveying it clearly or not. You're all experts. I'm not an expert. So your thing should be getting sustained profit and in turn the returns and visible growth in our net worth and associated financial parameters as you guys decide.
My next question is that any product mix change could help to expand margin going forward?
Yes. Product, you are asking about the product mix
Yeah, any possible product mix change which can take the margin, you know.
Yes.
So if you can explain that a bit.
Yes. See, we have been set up over, of course, our history is almost, we are just about 139 years young, 1884-2023. Brought in as a defense shipyard 1960, so 63 years young. Our core business, this is what I tell my team and the analysts and the investors in turn, is that the core business will continue to be, because we exist for that, for the nation, for domestic warship building. Now, but at the same time, we are also a business entity looking for profit where possible. In the product mix, we have branched out to ship repairs. That is an area where the margins are higher. We have focused on that. The results are there to see in a modest way, because we have just started giving impetus to ship repairs just about a year and a half back. We will be giving a thrust on this. Second, on export market. Again, the beginning is good. We have tasted blood with by winning orders on competitive arena, one with an Asian country and with a totally diagonally opposite a Caribbean country. We are looking for opportunities abroad, and we are very confident that this is an area, that exports will be an area where we will be getting in. Green energy and autonomous vessels. Green energy, we have made a foray, again in a modest way, with the government of West Bengal. Huge opportunities for green platforms within India and abroad. There are countries, the Scandinavian countries have gone completely green. Not gone completely green, they're given directives to go green by 2030. I think they get a cutoff of 2030. Opportunities exist there. Fourth is on autonomous vessels. With technology, cutting edge technology platforms now, no nation wants to expose their potent platforms to the adversaries. So autonomous vessels, which can be risk to exposure, will be the order of the day in the future. So four areas, just to answer your question: exports, ship repairs, autonomous vessels, green platforms. One I missed out is a pet project for us, area for us, vertical is the Bailey Bridges vertical. It's again a small vertical. The entire India's market, overall market, would be, let us say, X crores. We own around, our stake in this is around 65% as on date. So we are good in this sector. So five of them, not four, five, the Bailey Bridges segment.
Good evening, sir. This side, Akshay here from Envision Capital. Sir, do we have a treasury desk, considering we have so much cash in our books? Do we have a proper treasury desk to manage the cash?
Could you repeat the question again?
Yeah, do we have a proper treasury desk to manage the cash we are having?
Oh, my experts, you can answer the question.
Whatever cash is available with us, it is a temporary period. It is not actually for an investment purpose. So for this thing, there is a guideline issued by DP. And we are guided by the DP guidelines, and investment is being made as per that guidelines.
So where do we invest generally?
Guidelines permits only investing on very secured portfolios like fixed deposits, mainly bank fixed deposits, and mutual fund also it is allowed, but it was limited to public mutual fund. Now it is, they have given also private mutual fund, you can go.
Regarding the offshore petrol vessels which are going to get signed in this year itself, so when would the execution for these vessels start?
Okay, there's four petrol vessel, ocean-going petrol vessel. That's what you meant, I presume. We expect the contract to be signed during the current financial year. That means in the next 45 days, if things go on well, we'll be signing the contract with the Navy. And the execution period, we are the L2 bidder, as I had mentioned earlier. The execution period is around 4 years, 48 to 48 months, if my memory is right.
Okay. And you mentioned that various RFPs would be coming in next 2-3 years. So generally, what is the time lag between signing of an RFP and formal contract signing? Because generally, it gets delayed somehow.
See, yes, there was a time again, the gap between the RFP promulgation and the contract signing used to be more than a year plus or a year and a half or so. Now, things have improved everywhere. Like, we are accountable. The entities involved in the government are also being held accountable. So the pace has, the gap has shortened. I just give you an example. This project, what you just asked about, the ocean-going patrol vessel, the RFP, the bids were opened sometime in end February 2022. We have 1 year from there. So it is 1 year as of now. We expect the contract to be signed next month. The endeavor of both the concerned shipyard and the acquisition wing of the government is to shorten this period. To answer your question, it's about 1 year from the time the RFP is out. Okay, from the time the RFP is out, from the time the RFP is out to the bid opening, it takes around 2 to 2.5 months. 2 months, I think. So it would take around 12 to 14 months from the time the RFP is published to the contract signing.
Sir, your presentation is all encompassing. You have touched almost every aspect of the activity which you are doing intensely and intend to do going forward. I am referring to ship repair, which you say your focus has come only 1.5 year back. Going forward, will ship repair, not only existing Indian Navy and Coast Guard, but even foreign ships, if we get, will it be a contributor to our revenue top line, say 10% or 15% going forward 3-4 years down the line?
I'll answer this question. Yes, it is true that real focus has come on ship repairs just about a year and a half to two back. We started almost 2 years back. We got the contract concluded with Kolkata Port Trust a year and a half back. Yes, we have started in a modest fashion. Right now, the contribution of ship repairs in our overall order book is just about 0.5%. It is minuscule. We are currently executing orders and winning on competitive basis from both the Indian Coast Guard and certain commercial vessels. Yes, the next bigger opportunity exists with the Navy, but you may be aware, Navy, unlike the Coast Guard, has got dedicated ship repair organizations at every place where the ships are, both at Visakhapatnam, Kochi, or Mumbai here. Naval Dockyard, Visakhapatnam. Naval Dockyard, Mumbai is there. Navy has got captive facilities. When their capacity is crossing, only then Navy goes for ship repair to us or any of our counterparts. Whereas Coast Guard does not have this facility. Oh. So the opportunities are phenomenal. Because the advantage of ship repair is that a ship undergoes repairs, refits. We call it refits. Refits. Now, after an operational cycle, she will come back for refit again. So it's a continuous opportunity. At this juncture, since you asked me, we are not really looking at going for 10 to 15% of our revenue from ship repairs. No. We would like to cap it to around max 5% in the next 3 to 5 years. Why? I go back to my first statement. Our core business is warship building, and there is enough in that field to give you all the returns that you expect.
I agree with you, and you have a capacity of 20 concurrent ship building,
yes,
particularly warships.
Yes.
So if you fully automate your ship building,
yes,
I think that will do the difference, the magic or the top line, bottom line wonder which you are signaling and indicating. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Sir, thanks for taking my questions again. Just wanted to check, do you people get advances From the Navy and the Coast Guard?
No. We don't take any advances, no, ma'am. This question I had answered once during the con call. We don't take any advance.
Okay. And so my second
Substantiate this point. Many a time, an investor also has asked, what happened to that advance you have taken? We don't take advance. As per the Defense Acquisition Procedure 2020, there are staged payments. There are 15 staged payments. This is a standard, it's available in open domain. There are 15 staged payments. One of the staged payments come with signing of the contract. And that staged payment is for the preparatory phase for building a ship. And that preparatory phase is where the brains of a project gets injected. That is when the design takes place, when the equipment are finalized. So, ma'am, no advance, only stage payment.
Sir, and what tax rate should we expect in the coming years, 23%?
Tax specialist.
Tax rate, corporate tax rate you are asking?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it is 22% and gross off it will be 25.17%.
Okay. And, sir, my last question, like, what did you think about the budget with respect to defense spending?
I'll answer this question, ma'am. I'd actually prepared this for one of the interactions. I'll answer. Actually, the budget, what do you feel about it? Budget, on the whole, there has been only a 13% increase from the last year for defense allocation. From 5.25 lakh crores, it has gone up to 5.94 lakh crores. Whereas the overall budget has gone up from 39.45 crores to 45. So as the overall budget has gone up, the defense allocation has also gone up by 13%, which means there is no substantial increase in the defense budget. What is interesting and good for us is that our the areas from where we generate, we get orders and generate revenue, that is the Navy, the Coast Guard, and the Border Roads Organization. Interesting, I'll give the figures now. Where Navy, the budget allocation for capital outlay has gone up, that is modernization has gone up from 47,000 crores to 52,000 crores. Coast Guard has gone up from around 4,200 to 4,800. That's again, they're maintaining the 13% rise. Interesting aspect is that the Border Roads Organization, from a very modest 3,500 crores, it has gone up to 5,000 crores. The leap is almost 43%. There we have opportunities. Within this capital allocation, outlay, that is for modernization, very recently, initially, what is mandatorily to be given to the Indian industry, initially it was 48%, from 48% it went to 64%, then now it has been increased to 75%. So there is enough room for us within this the allocation that is available. But on the whole, the increase has been very modest. 13% is nothing.
Okay. And, sir, I just want to I've asked this question before. Like, you were allotted the P-17 Alpha project in financial year 16. So since then, have you people always been on schedule to deliver? You were saying that the Navy changed the terms of delivery, but otherwise, sir, have you on the part of GRSE, have you people always been on schedule?
I'll answer the question, ma'am. I am to construct this building, this hall. You are my customer. You are to decide the light fittings. You are to decide the type of flooring that needs to be put. You have to decide the mic. And you say the mic has to be procured from him who's developing it for the first time. You say that the flooring has to be picked up from him who's again developing for the first time. So when the contract was conceived, contract is like a marriage. When the contract was conceived and when both the Navy and both the shipyards and the government, the intent is genuine. Everybody want Atmanirbharta everywhere. Good. It is with that intent that the contract was concluded. I am supposed to complete this building within 1 year as per the contract that we mutually agree with the arbitrator, that is the government giving the blessing. After 1 year, if you are not able to still decide the mic, or rather you decide the mic and then you say the indigenous firm who is developing it has flopped, you go to this firm, how can this building be completed? How can me as the shipbuilder or the building contractor complete this on time? So this is a point, this is a perception, a point of view. Having fully understood the reality and the ground situation, mutually means the stakeholders, the shipyards, the Navy, and the government are revising the delivery dates. So there is no question of slippage of dates. I mean, GRSC as a shipbuilder has already launched two ships have been already launched. One of the ships, when I was just giving the narrative on the physical progress, one of the ships has already touched 50% of physical progress. So we are moving ahead. When we are doing Atmanirbharta, these are all inevitable situations. But the end result will be a product that will last the Navy for more than 40 years. Since you asked me this question, we are constructing four survey vessels currently for the Navy. Navy still has got survey vessels built by GRSC, which are 40 plus years old. So the products that we deliver will have longevity, meet 100% customer expectations, and in turn the nation's expectations. So the contract is a it's an arrangement or a contract in whatever real sense. It is getting renewed means all the stakeholders, including the government, is privy to the fact that the delays are not because of any particular entity. It's a collective ecosystem development implication. I've gone too deep into it so that the air is cleared once for all.
Sir, but now you have to deliver the three ships. You're saying you've delivered one, P Alpha. So two are remaining. Sir, do you expect any delay? Because you're supposed to deliver by 2027. So given the way things work, do you expect any delay in that delivery?
At this juncture, no, ma'am. Okay. At this juncture, no. It's like unless some force majeure situation comes. Like Turkey, you have seen in the last 1 month, things have turned upside down. So unless something drastic happens to the Indian industry, we don't see any changes.
Thank you, sir.
My pleasure. Sir.
My simple question, sir. We have a up to 27 order book of roughly 25,000 crore. Just, sir, can you guide us next 4 years? You know my question. 24, 25, 26, how this 25,000 crore will be fulfilled by us? And is there any risk in not fulfilling? And if it is, what is that risk?
Okay, sir. I'll answer this question. I'll make one slight clarification. The current order book is 22,242 crores. We are expecting a contract for the four vessels to be concluded, by next month. So including that and what we are going to execute in the next quarter, the order book is likely to be around 25,000 plus crores. Now, if you're adding the next project also, next project is a a minimum 4-year project. I'm actually not getting the figure exactly. I think it is 48 months or 52 months. So that makes it from 23 to FY, almost beginning of FY 28. Now, if I'm taking that out of the equation at this moment, so 22,242 crores, FY 27. Now, I'll just go back. The last year, my revenue from operations was 1,757. This year, the way things are moving, it is evident, the growth is evident. The next year, that is FY 24 and 25, are going to be the peak years, with the peak touching FY 25. Then it will peter out and get padded up by the new orders that I'm getting. I'm purely speaking about the current order book. If I get another, let us say, one jumbo order, then naturally the revenue generation will start from those orders also. I know I'm making it in a wishy-washy manner, but this is the best I can give you at this moment. FY 24, 25 will be our peak years.
So what will be in 25 peak? What is your peak means?
So that's what I told in simple English. I'm going into what in a roundabout way. So, okay.
Sir, I want the cumulative of 22,000. I don't understand how we can go to 20. Just make me understand how we can go to 22,000 by 27.
Sir, it is, shipbuilding is not like, it's not linear. I mean, actually my predecessor, when we got listed and the first interaction, a simple question was asked. Your order book was, I'm just giving a figure, let us say, 25,000 crores. Your delivery date is X. So each year, are you going to deliver? Tuck, 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 tuck. It is not linear. Shipbuilding follows an S-curve. So again, it is with that assumption and the product maturity that we are now in a state, starting from this year, the current financial year, definitely I'm already at 1960. You can infer the rate at which I am growing. So 23, 24, and 25 will see a further growth.
Sir, but I fail to understand from 2,000 crore to by 27.
Sir, you want us to finish the order book? Yes, as an analyst and your investors also. You want us to finish the order book? We will finish the order book. Since you want us to finish the order book and the value is 22,000 and the number of years are only... Four. Naturally, you can split it in this fashion. So,
but sir,
you have
got the phase-wise how much you are going to complete in 24, how much you are going to complete in 25. Sir, let us, for investor, let us understand by 25 whether 7,000 crore will be done.
Okay,
absolute
sir.
Absolute figure,
I'll,
sir.
I'll give you a little more clarity. I certainly can't give you the absolute figures, but I'll give you a little more clarity. Now, in shipbuilding, the maximum revenue generation takes place when a ship is between 40 to 60% of construction. In a smaller ship, naturally the proportionate values will be different. You know, I'm taking a big ship because my biggest revenue earner is P-17 Alpha because that carries approximately 70% of my total order book. The first ship today is at 50% physical progress. Thus, which means it is in the mid of the maximum revenue generation cycle. The second ship is just entered that phase, 40%. The third ship is at 20%, but moving very fast, 22%, moving very fast. So, again, I'm reiterating, this year we expect to touch anything more than around 25% more than the last year. We intend maintaining same tempo in the next few years also, with FY 25, the peak year. Not happy, sir?
Not at all, sir.
No,
not
problems.
At all.
No problems.
Sir, 25... sir, with 25% growth and 22,000 crore, I don't understand the maths.
And I said this year we'll be maintaining minimum 22%, 25%.
Yeah.
Sir, whatever we have assured... At least over the last 1 year, we have only delivered more than what we have assured. Yeah. We will continue maintaining that tempo.
And sir, in 25, what will be the peak margin, EBITDA level?
Roughly. Sir, margins will be more or less same, sir. What we are maintaining now. we don't see any major, because orders are definitely on the margins what we get, but the profit margins are limited. So whatever is today, we'll maintain that. I don't see any substantial rise or dip from that existing figures.
And any challenges or penalty of not completing or delaying?
Yes. Every project has got liquidation damage in case the project is delayed. With the contract getting revised, to answer your question, ma'am, with the contract getting revised, I think we are out of the LD bracket as of now.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Yeah.
Sir, I have one question here. Sir, the future orders which we are talking about, the next generation COVID 18 number, I think we are talking about some 36,000 crores. And with in that, L1 is going to get 5 and L2 will be getting 3. Sir, that's, so if assuming if we are L1, luckily enough, it would be about 22,000 odd crores worth of order. Sir, that would be on a nomination basis or it would be on a competitive bidding?
No, sir. This will definitely be on competitive bidding.
Sir, so assuming if it was on a nomination basis, the margins would be 7.5%. And if it is on a competitive bidding, is it safe to assume it's like 5% margin, 6%?
Sir, it is project specific, sir. We see the, it's a pure business decision at that moment of time, which depending upon the market environment at that time, the competitor's order book at that point of time, and our own order book position, sir. I hope you understand that.
Sure.
And but to answer your question, yes, it is going to be on competitive bidding. And my previous statement, we will bid to win this because it is our forte. It is our niche product.
Yeah. And sir, this is going to come in calendar of 2024, or where are we in that journey? Meaning,
so the AON was accorded in May this year, May last year. AON, CCS. So we expect the RFP to come, because RFP was already a long time back, the RFP to come out by early calendar year 24.
Early calendar 24.
So this works out, it actually augurs well for us, because if by early 24 the RFP comes out, I expect a near 14 months for the contract to be concluded. So with our current order book, the small orders that we are getting in between, actually, time and space-wise, this matches good for us.
Okay. Sir, so it should technically match with peaking off of our P-17 Alpha project, all three of them, and that would coincide with perhaps this order coming?
Sir, likewise. No, not exactly. Because, see, there is a... Okay, I'll again give a... Rarely do I get an opportunity to meet you in person. I'll just give you... In shipbuilding, there are four phases. One, of course, is a preparatory phase where we do the designing and the equipment selection, the ordering, and so on. Then there is a phase where the ships, when we start production till the launch of the ship, where the blocks, the mega blocks are constructed in various locations, they all get consolidated in a dry dock. Now coming to the dry dock. It is at that phase that the ship is going to be in the dry dock. Two P-17 Alphas are already out of dry docks. I am using the dry dock for construction of the other ships. So when, if and when this project or any other project come, there is no collision with respect to, clash with respect to the dry dock requirements of the P-17 Alpha. After the ship undocks, after the ship is launched, she goes to, or rather they go to outfitting jetties where the equipment buttoning up and outfitting happens. And it then goes on to the last phase, that is the acceptance and trials. So, to answer your question, there is no clash.
Okay. Sir, P-17 takes a 10-year to kind of, you know, construct the entire P-17, the frigate, is about 5.5 to 6 years period. What is a tenure for this 8-in-number COVID?
This, again, is going to be 6 years. Since it is going to be split between two shipyards, it will be a 6-year project.
So two shipyards, meaning L1 will commence first and L2 will commence second. That's the way the project will be?
Normally in a hybrid project, two shipyards constructing the ships almost concurrently, they maintain a gap between the commencement of the first ship, even contractually, and of the first ship of the L1 shipyard and the first ship of the L2 shipyard. Basically, for the design maturity and to stagger so that when the delivery takes place at some subsequent state, the customer can take it in a staggered manner. Nobody would like to have 10 things coming to that is the intent.
Yeah, so thanks so much. Thanks so much for working towards the safety of our country. So really appreciate that. Thank you so much, sir.
My pleasure. Ma'am, I thought of your last question, but bingo. Please go ahead. Please. Mic to ma'am.
Hello.
Other than margins.
Apologies for asking so many questions.
Please, ma'am.
Apologies for asking so many
questions. No, ma'am. It's as I mentioned, it is my privilege to interact with all of you. Any question? Welcome.
Okay. Sir, two questions. So one is that, steel prices, metal prices are going down. So does that benefit come to you it somehow does not come to you?
Ma'am, it all evens out at the end of it. There was a stage, steel is procured when you... I'm taking steel as an example, applicable for many of the items also. Steel is required for the hull construction. And in a project, the total order value, for the cost of steel is approximately maximum around 5%. That's all. Second, we have an agreement with another public sector undertaking, the Steel Authority of India, where we based on the global indices, we fix the price, we have an agreement for a certain period. So we have reasonable assurance of maintaining the price. There will be some stage earlier, 6 months back, the steel prices were high. Now the steel prices are down. There could be a situation where the steel prices go up again. So seriously, it doesn't affect us much. And as far as all the running projects are concerned, the steel procurement has already taken place. So zero impact as of now. But definitely, yes, for the next projects, we need to procure steel. But we have a back-to-back tie-up with SAIL.
During the phase of the ship, there'll be different stages. So, are the EBITDA margins or what you make different in the different stages, or what is it?
Yes. It will be, since we are doing concurrent construction of ships, concurrent construction, like means even today we are building three types of, I'm taking the other platforms out, the export platform and the boats and the FPV out of it. Just let us take Indian Navy. We are taking three different projects comprising of 15 ships, three different projects. One are awarded at different margins, and all of them are at various stages of production. So the revenue will come when the ships reach, to answer Sir's question, when the ship maximum revenue will come when the ship reaches 40 to 65% of construction. The margins will fluctuate depending upon which project we are handling.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Hi, sir. This is Mohit from ICICI Securities. So, thanks for the opportunities. I have two, three quick questions. Number one is, though we acknowledge the fact that there has been huge opportunity in the naval fleets, like you said, and it's almost 1.5 to 2 lakh crores in the next 4-5 years. Okay, but does the government budget actually support this? Because why I am asking is, apart from the last 2 years, if you take the average for the last 10 years, the average allocation to naval fleet is about 12 to 13,000 crores. So even if you take that for the next 5 years, like recent allocation to the naval fleet is about 20,000 crores. Okay, 25,000 crores. So if you take that for the next 5 years, so the total opportunity will be about 1 lakh crores. So do you see any kind of the delay in all those projects which you have been mentioning and other players have been mentioning?
See, Navy has got, this year alone, Navy has got a budget allocation of 52,000 crores for, that is a capital modernization budget for Navy. Navy already has got 43, when you say capital budget allocation for the Navy, is the fund allocation for the Navy to spend on the projects which are in progress, and for the projects for which the contract is likely to be concluded, where the stage payments are to be released. Right now, 43, I'm only taking Navy. I'll come to Coast Guard later. 43 ships are under construction for Navy. In my understanding, that the 47,000 crores which are for capital outlay, excluding the infrastructure project that the Navy is undertaking for their modernization, a majority of this will go for the various stage payments for the project which are in progress. With 10 to 11 to 13% budget escalation coming up every year, if you just extrapolate, similar or more amount will be infused into the Navy capital outlay for the next year, next year, and so on. So, some of the projects which I have mentioned have already been approved by the AON, has been accorded by the DAC. For example, the high value order, 36,000 is a reasonably big amount. Some of the projects, the RFI has been already issued, the RFP is on the anvil. So all put together, I had given two figures, a conservative figure and an optimistic figure. The conservative figure of around 86,000 crore, I had mentioned, over a period of next 3 to 5 years, the contract conclusion. Now, when you say contract conclusion, at contract conclusion, as per the Defense Acquisition Procedure 2020, X percentage is supposed to be given, which is X percentage of the contract value. So it's a running cycle. So I don't see any apprehensions in these orders unless there is a government decision to suddenly stop all naval projects, which is unlikely to come.
Why there is a reduction in the naval fleet budget if we compare it with the last budget? Because last time it was like 30,000 crore, which has been reduced to 25,000 crore now. And there has been no major inflow in the last 2-3 years.
I'll tell you. There has been... You're bang on. You're absolutely right. There has been a bottleneck with respect to the defense acquisition projects getting stuck at some level. Now, in my understanding, the bottleneck has been cleared already. That is how the RFPs have started coming in such frequent fashion. As of now, I'm preparing the bids for how many? Three bids for the Indian Coast Guard. So, yes, you're right. There was a bottleneck. Now it is opened up.
No, sir. Why I'm saying this? Because I'm fearing if there is a level like when we do not receive any kind of the order that we are envisaging now in the next 2-3 years. So there might be like we have a lot of capacities. Like you mentioned, 20 warship building. But if that capacity is not getting utilized due to lack of the order, because we have seen in the case of Mazagon Dock, there was a period when the submarine order was not there, like 10 years back. So then at that time, they made huge losses, right? So if that is the scenario, right? Okay. The next question is...
Can I answer your this question once again?
Yeah, sure, sir.
I mean, rather, I can clarify. See, since we are speaking purely on gunnery shipbuilders, the current order book for a company such as ours is good. Second, where a reasonable assurance, where RFPs are already out, or where DAC has cleared, it's government is taking a decision, that itself, among the 7 shipyards, there is enough for all the shipyards. So we don't envisage any order starvation in the coming foreseeable future. Could you ask the next question, please?
Sir, we have been very low on R&D spend. What is the reason? Because we are the lowest in the defense public sector undertaking, if we talk from the research and development as a percentage of the top line.
Could you repeat again?
So we have been very low on research and development expenditure as compared to any other defense public sector undertaking. So what is the reason? Aren't we doing any kind of the research for the new ships or the current existing projects?
Yes. As with the government, the focus now has increased on R&D, and the projects that we are presently focusing, the green energy project and the autonomous platforms development, will be on through our R&D budget. Yes, R&D was
it's
a focus area, but more
line.
Trust will be given in the future.
Right, because I think in FY19 there was no R&D spend, and right now it is less than 1%. If we compare it with the Mazagon also, they are doing 1.3. HAL is doing 8%. BL is doing 7%. We have been quite low on the R&D part.
I'll give another answer for this. Unlike HAL, okay, I'll keep Mazagon Dock right now out of the equation. I'll just compare two different sectors, HAL and us. We are primarily platform integrators. This should be clearly understood. We are platform integrators. We procure equipment from renowned, acknowledged, and perhaps nominated by the customer, the equipment, the systems, button them up out. Our specialty is platform integration. In case of HAL, in my understanding, they develop new projects. So naturally, R&D focus by HAL or Bell has to be much, much more than for a conventional shipbuilder. Now I'll bring MDL into the equation. Yes, MDL has been definitely, I understand it's around 1.4% on that. And ours is also more or less similar, but what we, with the present trust of the government and in turn us being a government entity, the R&D focus will increase in the coming years. And I've given a couple of examples. R&D development will be focusing on green platforms, hybrid platforms, and autonomous vessels.
Sure. And so the last question is on the indigenous content on your major shipbuilding project as of now, if you can share the data. The indigenous content of the current shipbuilding projects.
Okay. See, again, I'll substantiate my statement with a rider. We are platform integrators.
Okay.
70 in a shipbuilding scenario, if you're taking a conventional shipbuilding project, around 65% of the ship's cost come from the equipment. And where does the equipment cost is high? One is the main propulsion system, second is the power generation system, third is the weapon system, and fourth is the electronics. This comprises the major cost carriers. And almost all of them are from a nominated pool of the customer. Now, the question of, now as a nation, everybody, including the customer, is looking at indigenization. There are total bans on importing certain equipment. Now, what is left to the shipyard, what was left to the shipyard a few years back, was the steel, the yard material. When I say yard material, that the fittings, the fasteners, the insulation, they're all 100% indigenous. Now, with the government trust on every stakeholder, that is the customers, the shipyards, and the industry on indigenization, with ban on importing a plethora of equipment, the indigenization content has gone up. The last major project that we completed, the anti-submarine covert project for the Indian Navy, our indigenization content was plus 90%.
Thank you, sir. That's it from
pleasure.
Sir, that you have mentioned that your primary focus is a shipbuilding, particularly warship building. And nowadays, your peers is also doing some kind of, you know, shipbuilding in the areas like, you know, commercial shipbuilding, passenger shipbuilding. So I want to understand, as far as future growth is concerned, you have mentioned that your whatever the order book that can possible in a future time. So you want to also go in these other verticals?
Yes, we would be going in for other verticals also. That's the order of the day. With no dilution in our focus on domestic warship building, because that's our primary job. But yes, we'll be going in five areas, ship repairs, because that is an attractive, quick turnaround mechanism. Second is for the Bailey Bridges, portable steel bridges segment, where we have already made inroads, and I think I mentioned that we own almost 65% of the Indian market. Third is for, again, a new technology adoption, that is green vessels. Right now, the green energy platform manufacturers in India are one and a half. And we have made some inroads to that. And fourth is the autonomous platforms. And fifth, of course, is exports. Towards exports, it's a national agenda. You are all privy to this. That's the government of India's key focus, one of the three focus areas. And the theme statement is, make in India, make for the world. We, as a government entity, are carrying the theme forward, moving aggressively, See, but it is like one thing you must appreciate. When I saw this thing for 100 leads, we may get one, we may get two. We have been lucky. We have started successfully. Two orders already won. We have marketing representatives in the areas that we have identified as potential order earners, and very confident of getting some commercial orders or warship export orders in future. So these five areas are our diversified segments.
And last question, sir, that just to understand one maths, that defense allocation total is somewhere close to, you have mentioned, 5.94 lakh crore, right? And in that particular, as far as your particular industry is concerned, including Navy, Coast Guard, and the modernization, I have calculated somewhere close to 62,000 crore has been allocated. So may I understood 10.43% of the total budget is moving towards your industry? By simple math, 62,000 crore divided by this something. Just if I'm wrong, just make me understand.
You're right. So I think that in a nutshell, you're right.
Yes.
See, the Navy allocation I had mentioned, it's around 52,000 crores,
yes,
for the current year. The Coast Guard is around 4,800 crores. And where we have some interest is the Border Roads Organization, which I mentioned. That is an attractive 5,000 crores. Of the 5,000 crores, majority of it will go to road construction. But where roads are there, bridges are also automatically there. So we'll be the collateral winners. So you're right. It is around that much percentage, whatever you mentioned.
Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Sir, do we get any incentive to complete a project of shipbuilding in on time?
Very interesting question, sir. When next time the government asks for a suggestion for amending the DAP, can you note on this point? We will definitely seek such an incentive. Unfortunately, in today's environment, no.
Sir, we are currently building around, I think, 15 ships. Out of that, 7 we are building, 2 with Titagarh, and 7 or 5 something with L&T. So how the margins is shared between this transaction? So out of the 7.5, does the some part goes to the L&T and Titagarh, or what's?
Sir, I'll answer this question in detail, lest there be any ambiguity. The P-17 Alpha project is being completely constructed because that is our major order book contributor. It is being completely constructed at GRSC. No ship among this 15, no ship among this 15 is being constructed at the small shipyard in Kolkata that you mentioned. Part construction of few of the ship of both the survey vessel large project and the shallow water craft is being constructed by one of the other private partner shipyard, what you mentioned at L&T. We have contracted through a conventional tendering process to identify a suitable shipyard that has got capability and spare capacity through a proper contracting process which is open to the industry. So there is no question of sharing anything with them. What GRSC orders, as per what they have responded, if any competent shipyard has won the thing, they'll get paid for that, for the part construction which they are carrying out. This is actually since you asked this question, it's a beautiful concept which we experimented in a very modest fashion with L&T itself around 4 years back, where one of the ship was given. We found the model very successful. Because what the customer wants, I had made a statement, the customer wants the product yesterday. So we have been able to, of course, the project is now reaching maturity. I got two of the survey vessels almost back-to-back competing with each other. Very successful PPP model. But no sharing, there's no question of sharing anything. With all humility, the other shipyard is my subcontracted shipyard partner for this particular.
Both this builder, the L&T and Titagarh, are work on schedule or it's late?
They are on schedule. Titagarh, I mentioned, there is no project among this 15 with Titagarh. Zero project with Titagarh. That was, since you mentioned Titagarh, that is another project for the Coast Guard, which has already been completed, delivered, and over and out.
Sir, our total order book position is around 22,000 crore, approximately 22,000 to 23,000.
Sir.
So it's going to be completed by year 24-25.
Sir, this 22,242 will get completed by FY 27. 26-27. 26-27.
Last year our sales was around 1757 crore. Current year, do we expect around 3,000 crore? Next year around 5,000 crore, and next year around 7,500 or 10,000 crore?
Sir, I will note down this figure, sir. It is, very, very interesting perspective. The same question which he also had asked. I had tried my best to put it in a roundabout way, but again I am reassuring, we will finish these orders by FY27 unless some catastrophe happens or one of my industry partners pack up. We will finish these products. So in a natural scheme of things, the order book position will get translated into revenue from operations in these coming years.
Sir, we are for 90 minutes, we are discussing everything. So he didn't put the figure. So I am putting the figure. So last year will be around 8,000 crore sales or what? Give me some rough idea.
Sir, I am you will fully appreciate it. Better than me. I am a technocrat, but you are the specialist. You will understand very clearly that I cannot give an absolute figure. So it is your. I am bound by this very place. So you clearly understand this. So thank you, sir.
Thank you. We've reached actually to the end of the session, and we need to close. Thanks to the August gathering to come here and hear us. Closing remarks from Commodore before we end today's session.
It was indeed a very pleasant, healthy, and enriching experience for me interacting with each one of you. It has been a learning experience for me because it's the first time that I'm meeting all of you face to face. There's a lot of difference between a con call and meeting the specialist face to face. Happy to have interacted with you. It is my pleasure. And I will make it a point to interact more often with you so that we understand each other. What I hope you have understood the environment which we are working. And I also hope that you have now more confidence in what we do. Definitely.
Point noted, sir. On the request of Commodore, would request everyone to please have a group picture with the management. Sure. Request everyone to please come forward. Thank you, Satish. Please, we would request everyone to please come forward.
The story of a journey that began more than 100 years ago. The tale of a small river steam workshop founded in 1884, which made its mark during the World War II by constructing, converting, and repairing more than 4,000 vessels. and today has grown into India's premier shipbuilding company, manufacturing state-of-the-art warships,